We're going to be looking at God's plan for our relationships. So what we're going to be doing through the next 8 weeks is we're going to be looking at different practical things that the Bible has to say to us about relationships, different aspects of relationships, like how to have a happy marriage. It's an important thing. So we're going to be talking about that a little bit. We're going to be talking about how to find healing from past hurts, the importance of accountability, how to date in a way that honors and glorifies God, and how to raise godly children, a variety of different aspects. So you don't want to miss this next 8 weeks. It's going to be a powerful, life-changing teachings from the Bible that we look forward to seeing how God's going to apply to our lives and how we can experience them more and be more like Jesus. Well, to help you apply these teachings, I think I'm gonna go with just the microphone here, since this one's cutting out. Excuse me. All right. To help you apply some of these different teachings to your life, what we're doing is we're organizing, or we have organized, six different small groups that are going to be meeting throughout the week. And I really want to encourage you to be a part of a particular small group. They start up this week, and so for the next 8 weeks, these small groups are going to be meeting. We'll meet one time a week. Each group will meet once a week, and they're only going to meet for about an hour. But within this hour, it's an opportunity to get to know people better, to learn more about the Bible, and more importantly, to come together and encourage one another in growing in your faith. The Bible tells us that iron sharpens iron. So it's as we come together that we make each other sharp. This is how we grow. We need those connections. We need to come together and support one another in our growth. And that's what happens in the small groups. So before you leave today, I invite you to pass by the table in the foyer and sign up to be part of a small group. And it is a sacrifice. It's a time commitment. But I encourage you to do it. God can do some amazing things in our lives when we come together. So if you need to, find a babysitter, you know, set aside the time each week and come on out to one of these small groups. I know that you're going to be blessed. Well, the topic this morning is entitled, What Every Woman Wants. What Every Woman Wants. And I've been jabbed a little bit about this this week by some of you. So before we get into this topic, you know, we really need God to guide us through this. What do I know? but God knows. God knows what we need. So let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much for how you're able to look inside of our lives and know exactly what we need. Thank you that when you are our shepherd, we don't want anything. You're everything that we need. God, as we look at your word, as we read, as we study about how to experience godly relationships, I pray that you would come now, send your Holy Spirit to be our teacher. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, a while back, I had a really strange conversation. One day, I was came across a friend of mine, a casual acquaintance. I knew her through the young man that she was dating. He was a good friend of mine. And so because I knew her through him and saw her this one particular day, I went up to her and thought I'd be cordial, asked her how she was doing, how's life going, just thought I'd catch up a little bit. And she began to tell me what was happening in her life. And as she explained, it became really clear that things weren't looking too good for her. She was telling me about this internship that she was involved in. She was working long hours. It was really hard. She wasn't really being appreciated. In fact, her supervisor, it was very clear, did not like her and really discouraged her from continuing on in this career that she was pursuing. The only problem was is that she really was dependent upon this supervisor to give her a good recommendation so she would have a chance at getting a job. And as far as her future was concerned, her career, it wasn't looking good at all. The future looked really bleak. But the strange thing about this conversation was, as this girl talked to me about these really negative things that were happening in her life, she was doing it in a way that I just didn't get. Now, I'll be the first one to admit that I don't understand everything about ladies. I admit it. But this conversation was making me wonder if I understood anything about ladies. Because as she was talking to me, saying all these negative things, the expression on her face didn't match the message that she was giving me. She was smiling. She was really happy. She was like, oh yeah, my boss, she doesn't like me at all, you know, and she's smiling. And it was almost like she was even giddy as she was talking to me about this. And my confusion must have been apparent, because at that moment, the girlfriend that she had with her, her girlfriend kind of stepped up and said, she said a phrase. She said four words that helped explain everything. She stepped in and she said, she just got engaged. Okay. It all makes sense now. No wonder. The girl is in love. Here was a girl who should have been upset. She should have been frustrated. But being in love was so satisfying to her that it almost made her immune to having a bad day. Men, something really special happens to a woman when she knows that she's loved. Something special happens, right? Ladies, would you agree? When you know that you're loved, something special happens inside of you. Guys feel good about being loved too, but something special happens when a woman knows that she is loved. Now, even though the famous neurologist Sigmund Freud said that despite 30 years of research, he still hasn't been able to answer the question, what do women want? Even though he says this, I'm going to step out on a limb and say, I believe that God knows. And I believe that in his word, he tells us what every woman wants. What's at the core of our lives that we're just desiring to be filled? Well, as we get into the study this morning, I want to invite you to take out your study guide. You should have gotten one in your bulletin. So I want to invite you to pull that out at this time. On the top, it gives the sermon title, and it gives a variety of different exercises. There's a connect section, there's a study section, and then there's an apply section. This is actually the study guide that we're going to be going through in the small groups. In case you're wondering, well, what do they do when they get together in small groups? This is what we're going to be going through. We'll have a time where they're sharing, and you can connect with one another. And then we get into the Word of God. We study some of the different verses. And at the end, the purpose of these groups is life transformation. At the end of this message, I'm going to be calling you, challenging you to something that is life transforming, but really this doesn't get applied to our lives unless we really talk about it and think about it and are intentional about applying it. So that's what this is all about. To encourage you to be ready for your small group, I want to invite you to take this out and just follow along and take notes on the back. There's a section where you can take notes as well. If you're listening to this message online and you're not here with us present this morning, I want to invite you to go to our website and just download the study guide. You can go to www.modestosda.org and click on study guides and also get this so that you can follow along. Today the message is all about how to effectively show love to those we love. How can we effectively show love to the people in our lives that we love? Now I'm going to especially be talking to the husbands today, to the guys. But I invite everyone else to follow along as well, because the principles in this teaching can revolutionize the way that we love others. So to get into it, please turn with me in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, we're going to be looking at verse 25. If you need a pew Bible, go ahead and reach for the one in front of you and pull that out and turn to page 1127. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. This is page 1127. Now as you're going there, I'm just going to say that throughout the Bible, God has a pattern. He has a habit of choosing people to do his work that are unqualified. Unlikely people that he chooses to do great things. When Israel needed a new king, God chose David, even though he was barely a teenager, and he was the youngest of all his brothers. When God needed to send the Messiah to this earth, he chose Mary, even though she was a poor, unmarried woman, unlikely candidate. Jesus chose fishermen to be his disciples, even though they were uneducated. And now when it comes to telling husbands how to treat their wives, look at who God chooses to talk to us. He chooses Paul, who's a single man. But through this single man, God is about to reveal to us how women need to be treated, how husbands need to treat their wives. This is what Paul has to say in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Notice what he says here. He says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her." Instead of giving us his own ideas on the topic, Paul directs us to the absolute authority on how to treat women, Jesus himself. He says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved you." Just as Christ loved the church. In other words, the life of Jesus is the textbook on love. Now, today we use the word love in a variety of different ways. I can say that I love my wife. Or I can say that I love my church family. I love you guys. I can say also that I love my dog. I love good food. I love being in the outdoors. I love a lot of things. We use the word love in a variety of different ways. But when it comes to defining how husbands are to love their wives, the Bible tells us to consider Jesus. Consider him who left the comforts of heaven to come down here, to limit himself to a human body. Consider how he loved us so much that he was willing for people whom he created to falsely accuse him, to condemn him to death, and then to nail him to a cross. He died for our sins. Think about that. The one who was perfect died for my sin. He died for your sins. Sins that he never committed so that we could be saved from death. Jesus gave everything for undeserving people to have eternal life so that he could come back and live with us forever. To love us just as Jesus did means to give everything. Jesus gave it all. He held nothing back. Even though none of us deserved it, Jesus loved us without reservation. He didn't look at me and said, "Well, you know, he's done some bad things. I'm going to only love him this much." He didn't look at you and say, "Oh, wow, she's done some good things. I'm going to love her more." He loved all of us without reservation. So when Paul says, "Husbands, love your wives," it means so much more than giving her a card for Valentine's Day and some flowers. Don't get me wrong, that's important, but it means so much more than that. It means so much more than just saying, "I love you." Important things, but what Paul is saying, this concept that God gives us of love goes way beyond that. It means, husbands, it means whether you think your wife deserves it or not, God is telling you, love your wife. Everything you've got, love her. Don't hold anything back. Love her without reservation. Now, ladies, I'm just curious. Which of you would object to having a husband who loved you like that? Isn't that what every woman wants? To have a husband that loves them without reservation, with everything they've got, passionately, daily, even if you wake up with crazy hair, he loves you. You look great, he loves you. You put on a few pounds, he loves you. You're having a bad day, you're irritated, you're edgy, he loves you. Isn't that what every woman wants? In Ephesians 5:25, it's significant that this command that God gives us for husbands to love their wives, this command is given in the present tense. That's really significant. Because it's given in the present tense, it has a particular meaning. Now, what Paul is not saying When he says, husbands, love your wives, he's not saying that men, at some point in time, at some point in your life, you should really plan on loving your wife. He's not saying that. He's also not saying, now men, if you've already shown your wife that you love her, you're good. Now you can move on to other things. He's not saying that either. By giving us this command in the present tense, what Paul is saying, what the Bible is telling us, is he's referring to continual, habitual action. In other words, what this is literally saying is, husbands, continually, habitually love your wife day after day for the rest of your life, just like you promised to when you married her. Isn't that what we say? When you say, I do, gentlemen, in Christian weddings, that follows, will you love her in sickness or in health, in prosperity or adversity? Come what may, will you love her? And you smile and say, I do, and you have no idea what you're talking about. Paul is telling us, hey, follow through on what you promised on your wedding day. Love your wife day in and day out. Husbands, do it. Love your wives. This week, my wife and I, bless her heart, she's sick today. She's not able to be here with us. We're supposed to share everything, right? I got sick and passed that on to her, and so she's not able to be here with us today. So I'm sorry about that. But this last week, this last Monday, my wife and I, we celebrated 1 year of married life. And praise God. Miracles do happen, ladies and gentlemen. 1 year of married life. And, you know, even though we've had to make some adjustments, right, in that first year of marriage. Incidentally, it's kind of a funny thing how when people, just looking back on this year of marriage, oftentimes people would come up to me, and meaning well, I really appreciate it that people check up on me. They'll say, oh, man, you've been married for 3 months now or 5 months now. How's it going? Now, everybody who's married has a pretty good idea that most people, their first year of married life, it's tough, right? Especially when you get married a little bit older like I did. There's some adjustments that you have to make. But praise God, my wife is a wonderful person. She's very understanding, very patient, and I can honestly, wholeheartedly say that I love my wife. She is a wonderful person. She's intelligent. She's funny. She's great to be around. She's just great. I love being around my wife. She's a hard worker. So many qualities that I appreciate about her. And she is beautiful. I love my wife. But over this last year of marriage, I've had to realize that when it comes to effectively showing my wife that I love her, I really have a lot of growing to do. I'm really not that good at it. Marriage has shown me that I'm a lot more selfish than I realized. And when it comes to loving our wives, men, selfishness really gets in the way. This is what happened to me as I planned our 1 year anniversary. Since being married for a year seemed like a significant milestone to me, I thought I should plan ahead and really make it a special event for my wife. I wanted to make it really special for her. So I got online and I began to look at some of the places that we could go. And when I saw a chance to book a hotel room that was right on the ocean, right on the beach, I started to think, this is going to be really special for her, but maybe it could be really special for me too. See, as many of you know, I really enjoy surfing. And it just so happened that this beautiful hotel that was on the beach was situated walking distance from an amazing surf spot in Santa Cruz. Now, the problem with this whole way of thinking is that my wife's idea of a good time is not going surfing. I mean, she supports my habit, she's really gracious. But when my wife thinks of having a good time, she is talking about resting and relaxing. That's what she likes to do. So I was thinking, maybe what I could do, book the hotel, got it all ready. Maybe what I could do is I would wake up early in the morning and I would go surfing for a couple of hours. And just maybe she wouldn't mind being all alone by herself in the hotel room during our 1-year anniversary for just a few hours. I was thinking that might work, be able to work out a little bit. Well, thankfully, God in his mercy saw my conflict of interest and helped me to adjust my priorities. The amazing sunny weather that we've been having all winter turned to rain. Storm came in. I looked at the forecast, the swell forecast, and the surf was going to be flat. And just as an exclamation point on the whole situation, I got sick. So by the time we left for our trip, praise God, I had seen the light. And I decided to truly make our 1-year anniversary all about her. We relaxed. We watched the Olympics. We talked. I took her out to eat. And instead of going surfing, we went shopping. Yeah, that was good. I see too many guys clapping. What's going on? You know, here's the funny thing with this, right? Guys, sometimes we have this idea that, man, if I am all about loving my wife, if I habitually, continually love my wife, what's going to happen to me? It's almost as if we're going to lose our masculinity or something. It's almost as if, oh, I'm going to turn into a pansy if I love my wife the way the Bible tells me to. But you know, something interesting happened. I observed this during our anniversary. That even though I made this trip, by God's grace, all about my wife, in the end, I didn't lose. Instead, my home actually became a much more pleasant place to be. Some of you know what I'm talking about, right? This is a good thing to be close to your wife. When we're not close, husbands and wives, we start to you know, grind against each other a little bit, get in each other's way. All of a sudden, we grew close, and home life became really much more wonderful than it ever had been. Guys, don't miss this point. If you think that sacrificing to love your wife is going to take something away from you, think again. Notice what the Bible tells us. God, who understands how these things work, who created the marriage relationship. Look at what it says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 28. It says, so husbands ought to love their own wives. How? Do you take care of yourself? Are you patient with yourself? Do you look out for your needs? Do you pay attention to the things that are important to you? Husbands, love your wives as you love your own body. And then look what it says. He who loves his wife loves who? Himself. Yeah, that takes us back to Genesis 2, 24. And he's about to quote that in verse 30, where God says the two shall become how many? One flesh. So when I'm loving my wife, who am I really loving? Loving myself, actually. From a purely selfish standpoint, it makes total sense to love your wife, men. When a man loves his wife, he's loving himself according to the Bible. In the beginning of our relationship, my attempts at loving Rosie weren't very successful. Because this is how I do it. Whenever I saw the chance to give her a compliment, this was my main strategy. Whenever an opportunity opened up where I could say something nice to her and compliment her, affirm her, I would take that opportunity and I would just affirm her. I would compliment her. I would say, "You are so beautiful." It's early in the morning, you know, her hair's crazy or whatever. And I'm like, "You are so beautiful." And I really meant it. I really think my wife is beautiful at all times of the day. Or I would say, "You know, you are so smart. That's amazing how you figured that out." Or, "I'm so impressed with you. You're such a hard worker." I was all about complimenting her. And each time I would share a compliment with her, my expectation was is that she would feel all warm and fuzzy inside. She would just melt and say, "Oh, wow, I'm so glad you appreciate me." But that's not what happened. She didn't really seem, I mean, she was gracious, it was fine, but she didn't really seem to take that in. It didn't really seem to mean much to her. She would just kind of brush these compliments off. And at first, I was a little bit offended. "Wait a second, I'm paying you a compliment here, you know, and you're not really getting what I'm saying." I was trying to tell her that I loved her. And she didn't really accept it. And so I was offended until I realized that my wife and I speak different languages of love. In his book, The Five Love Languages, and I guess we got the screen already up. I wanted to put up a website for you. Maybe we can, in this brief moment, maybe the screen could get put down. And there's a website I'd like to show you and have you write down that I think would be very helpful for you. But in the book called The Five Love Languages, thank you, Gary Chapman explains a revolutionary concept. He says that people speak different love languages. So what this means is you can be working really hard to love someone, and this applies to everybody. You can be working really hard to show someone love. You're showing them habitually, continually, and they may not be getting it. And so you may not feel really appreciated. You're like, "Man, what's the use? I'm trying to love my wife. I'm trying to love this family member," or whatever it is, and it doesn't really seem like they're appreciating it, like they're really feeling loved. It doesn't seem like it's effective. And so what Dr. Chapman observes in his book, The Five Love Languages, is this, is that there are five basic languages of love. And if you would like to find out what your love language is, just write this website down. It's www.5, and then the words lovelanguages.com. 5lovelanguages.com. Write that down. It only takes you like 10 to 15 minutes to take this test. It's absolutely free, and it gives you a breakdown of what your love language is. So there's five different love languages that Dr. Chapman has recognized, has observed, and here they are. One is words of affirmation, where you go along and you just say wonderful things. And if you remember in the video where the ladies were talking about how their husbands love them, some of them talked about that. "I like to be affirmed." Another one is gift giving. When you give someone a gift, if their love language is gift giving, they're going to receive that and say, "Wow, I just feel so loved." Another love language is quality time. People who have this love language, they want you to just hang out with them. Spend time with them. Even if it's just going to the store to buy milk, quality time, hanging out together. Let's see, then there's acts of service. Those who have this love language love it when you do things for them. Maybe it's doing the dishes. Maybe it's cleaning the house. Maybe it's washing the car, serving them in some way. And then the last one is physical touch, holding hands, putting your arm around them. This isn't talking about the physical intimacy between husband and wife necessarily. This is just talking about physical touch, just the touch on the shoulder. Someone who has this love language just feels so loved when you pat them on the back. "Oh, thank you. I really feel loved." So when you find out a person's love language and you learn to speak that language, you can show them love effectively in a way that they are going to perceive and they are going to understand. It's going to be showing them love in a way that makes sense to them. It's speaking their language. Well, the more I interacted with Rosie, my wife, the more I realized that her love language wasn't words of affirmation. She was more into giving gifts. And if you have been around my wife, you know that she's just all about this. She loves to receive gifts. She loves to give gifts. This is how she speaks love. And I realized that if I was going to love my wife effectively, then I was going to need to learn how to speak a new language. Giving gifts isn't my primary love language. I'm a words of affirmation guy, as I just mentioned to you. So for me to be able to speak her love language, I was going to have to make some sacrifices. First of all, I was going to have to make the sacrifice of ease. It's much easier for me to say, oh, I think you're amazing. Thank you so much for what you're doing. I just really appreciate you. Just kind of rolls off my tongue. It's easy for me to do that, but that wasn't doing it for her. The second sacrifice I was going to have to make was, I don't like to spend money. And I was going to have to change that. One of the best things I've done is to buy gifts for my wife. It doesn't have to be expensive, but sometimes it does, right? Okay. But the point is that I've had to learn to speak a new language. When I've spoken this language to her, it's been amazing to see. And I'm still learning how to do it. It's a process. It really is like learning a new language. But when I've been able to give her gifts that she likes, it's been amazing to see how she's just become so satisfied, so content, so loved. She glows. And as a good friend of mine once said, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. It's a good thing, men, when you love your wife. Husbands, love your wives. God knows what he's talking about. That's why he tells us to do this. The truth is, loving others isn't easy. Love your wives, men. Do it. There's a reason why in the Bible we don't find the command for wives to love their husbands. But we do find the command for husbands to love their wives. Women have a special need for love. But we need to be able to show that love effectively. We need to learn how they perceive love so that we can love them in a way that's going to make sense to them and that they're going to appreciate. Loving others isn't easy because love requires sacrifice. I mean, look at what Jesus did to love us. It says, husbands, love your wives. How? Just as Christ loved the church. Jesus is the textbook, and how could he have loved us if he wasn't willing to sacrifice? It was a sacrifice for Jesus to come down here and to speak our language. And as we look at the life of Jesus, we see someone who fluently speaks all the different love languages. When the leper that no one wanted to touch came up to Jesus, Jesus could have just spoken the word, but he also touched them. Jesus came and he spent quality time with people. He called his disciples for the purpose of being with him. Jesus is the ultimate gift. He gave himself to this world. He knows how to give gifts. Jesus knows how to affirm people. Well done, good and faithful servant. Jesus eloquently speaks all of the different love languages. And so as we look to him, we can take cues on what it means to speak other people's love language. Husbands, this kind of love does not come to us naturally. We don't naturally do it. And on top of that, chances are many of you have been hurt. And a hurting person really struggles to love others. Maybe your marriage has been tough. Maybe there have been times when you just felt like throwing in the towel. Or maybe recently you aren't getting along. Maybe just this morning on the way to church, you had a little discussion with your wife, and so you're not really feeling like loving her. And so this command for husbands to love their wives, this is a hard teaching. Loving her all the time, whether you feel like it or whether you don't. Whether by your evaluation she deserves it or whether she doesn't in your thinking. The Bible tells us continually, habitually, love your wife. And even though loving her may seem almost impossible at times, God shows us how we can do it. We find it in this verse that we've been looking at, Ephesians 5:25. Look at the very last part of that verse. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church. And look at what it says, and gave himself for her. God gave himself for you and I. No matter if you're a husband or a wife, single person here today, God gave himself for you. In Bible times, when a man wanted to marry a woman, he would have to give something. He'd go to the family, he'd go to the father, and he would have to offer some kind of a gift. Usually it was a sum of money. And this sum of money, the amount at least, was determined by the social standing of that family that she belonged to. If the woman was from a poor family, then the man wouldn't have to give very much. But if the woman was from a wealthy family, or if she was even from a royal family, then the man who wanted to marry her would have to pay a high price. Do you understand what the Bible's saying here? Jesus gave everything for you. He didn't bargain and try to say, well, how can I work the price down a little bit? He gave everything. There's been no higher price paid for a bride than what Christ has paid for you. God values you. And when you accept that he values you, you know, as a guy, I don't really like to get a whole lot of, get touchy-feely, you know, with guys and with people and stuff like that. But there's something to be said, guys, about taking a moment and considering, actually taking a more than a moment, but each day considering that Jesus really, really values you. Your value does not come from what you're able to do, from how much money you're able to make, or how funny you are. Your value comes from Christ. The Bible says that he gave himself for you. How much does God have? He has everything, and more than just giving everything, he gave himself for you. This is how, men, we can be truly strong and love our wives continually, habitually, good days, bad days. This is where the strength comes from, comes from looking to Jesus and recognizing that he gave everything for me, for you. We can't give what we don't have. The Bible is simply telling us, men, to give Jesus love to others. Church family, give the love of Jesus to others. And there's no way that we can love like Jesus until we've been loved by Jesus. So I want to challenge you, church family, to accept the love that Jesus has given to you. To see him looking at you, poor, wretched, miserable, nothing to offer, and paying for you as if you were royalty, giving everything so that you could be with him forever. Accept how God values you and share that love with others. Husbands, study your wives. Learn her love language. Take the test. Get her to take the test. Observe her. Study her. Look at her and watch what she responds to. And ladies will throw us curveballs, guys. We might think we have it all figured out. Oh, yeah, this is her love language. But then all of a sudden it's not working anymore. Take notes. It changes. That's just the way it works. But God is telling us to watch and to love them as we would love ourselves. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. Speak her language and love her with everything you've got. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for calling us to be like you, for calling us, for giving us, equipping us with the love that we need to love others with. I want to pray in a special way for our husbands in this congregation. I pray, God, that you would fill up their hearts with your love. I pray that they would be careful to listen to your voice each day, telling them how much you love them, so that they are able to love their wives and love their families. Heavenly Father, we pray for healing in our families. I ask, God, that you would come and soothe the hurts that have happened as a result of sin. And I pray for our marriages that they could be shining examples of what it means to love as Jesus loves. In his name we pray, amen. Now may the God who loved us with everything he had fill your hearts and fill your lives. May your cup overflow to those around you. May you learn how to fluently speak different love languages so that Jesus, the true picture of Jesus, can be given to the world and he can come back soon. God bless you.